Bill and Marla, you're just about ready for a nap about now, huh?
Yeah, I know we are.
What
you know
time
it.
Do you all get up in the morning?
I get up at around 2.
I get up around 4.
It's unbearable.
Thank you.
And which of you have children?
I do.
Oh, Marla.
And you know because you've got 2.
Well, yeah, but you know, early morning stuff, I think, is a particularly arduous grind and tough on the kids because you want to give them everything when you see them, and you really don't have it, do you?
I know.
No,
well,
not at that
when
time
I
of
get
morning.
Home from work, I'm not as fresh as I could be, let's say.
No, yeah. It's a hard job. Well, my hat's off to both of you.
Acting, come on. You know, you guys have the early calls as well.
Well, I've often said, you know, I'm working in the theater now, which is glorious by comparison to episodic television, which I think is probably the most grueling.
Even more than soap operas, because you did that,
yes,
too.
Yes, you know, that's a total misnomer, Marla. I mean, that's a complete overstatement of the demands of a soap opera, which are really fundamental.
Really?
Sure, because you're not expected to really craft it. I mean, you are. I don't want to shoot myself in the foot here.
Really?
But you've got overnight to do it. I mean, bing, bing, there it is.
It's what you get. That's it.
In episodic television, you're meant to endow the thing, you know, with all of the graces that you can engender, and that makes it trebly difficult. Well, so I would say by far, that's been the toughest challenge of my...
You mean
career.
Being Captain Janeway?
Probably Captain Janeway was the toughest, yeah.
You know, Billy and I are huge yeah. Star Trek fans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, when did you
gosh.
Ever watch it? You must have been in a coma by the time.
Well, that's what they make TiVo for.
Well, they didn't have TiVo then, really.
Well, all right, that's
I
what
forgot
they make,
about TiVo.
That's what they make VCRs.
Yeah, I taped a lot of those shows. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
good job.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I got to ask one question, and this is kind of silly, but you've almost got the Tony Danza syndrome going on.
You mean my voice is as deep?
No.
Because Catherine Janeway, now you're going to play Catherine Hepburn, and even in Mrs. Columbo, it was Kate Columbo.
That's correct.
Do you all? Is it in your rider
and
that you have to have
Catherine in a play coming up?
I know. So
I think I just stimulate this kind of thing. You know, they just look at me and say, "Well, that's it. It's right there in one glass of water."
So. Your name is Kate. Go with it.
Yeah.
It's a good
why
name.
Why not? Clear the bell, right?
Exactly.
Good Irish name. You got
to suppose
look.
You want to talk about the life I'm doing of Barbara Stanwyck.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
No. Betty Davis.
You are, you know what, you're going to be a perfect Catherine Hepburn. I just couldn't think of a better person for the role.
Well, I've been doing her for some time. You know, this has been going on for almost 3 years.
I've heard the commercials for for your performance here, and I got to tell you, it's frightening.
Uncanny.
Bill, it's frightening.
But frightening in a good way.
Uncanny. Can't somebody say gorgeous, heavenly?
Oh, all right, gorgeous,
magnificent.
Heavenly.
Magnificent.
And yet frightening.
Well, you'll actually have to see it, and I hope the two of you get a chance to see it.
I'd love to.
It's one of those things that absolutely requires the dynamic between the actor and the audience, and I think that's why it's been so successful. It has a real urgency and a very clear intimacy, and I've done everything within my power, myself and Matthew Lombardo, the playwright, to honor Catherine Hepburn. I was in no way interested in doing an impersonation of Miss Hepburn. I find it not only pedantic and boring, but rather insulting.
Mm-hmm.
She was much bigger than an impersonation. So in my endless digging and unearthing of the reality of this person, what you get in those 2 hours on the stage is what I believe was her pulse.
Wow.
And her heart.
Well, you know, that's funny because, of course, in Aviator, Kate Blanchett, again with the Tony Danza syndrome, does Catherine Hepburn. And a lot of people said impersonation. Did you have a feeling about her performance?
In all fairness to Miss Blanchett, who was a great actress, the movie wasn't about Catherine Hepburn.
Mm-hmm.
It was about Howard Hughes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She probably had 30 minutes screen time from soup to nuts.
Yeah.
And my hat's off to her. She went for it, and she went for it in a way I don't think any one of those other young actresses would have had the courage to do.
Yeah.
It was broad, but you knew who she was.
I thought she did a pretty good job. I mean, I was amazed. But I think, of course, you're going to do a better job. Come on.
Well, the longer you get to immerse yourself in a marriage, the better the marriage should be. And this has turned into one hell of a love affair, very unexpectedly, because I never liked her very much.
Oh, really?
No, I was compared to her a great deal when I was young, and I found it irritating and very disconcerting. And I wanted to be an actress in my own right.
Sure.
So that when this came to pass in my late 30s, I thought, oh, my God. But the way that he structured this piece and the way that the polarity of her life, you know, in Act 1, I'm very young, and in Act 2, I'm 76— It was just splendidly written. And underneath it all, I could see that Matthew Lombardo understood that I think that, Katharine Hepburn was all about the vulnerability that she had to cover up in order to become the extraordinary star that she did become.
Hey, Kate, hang on for a second. We're talking to Kate Mulgrew this morning. She plays, she portrays, she becomes Katharine Hepburn. The performance is called Tea at Five. It's June 2nd through the 19th at the Marines Memorial Theater in San Francisco. Hang on. We'll do more with Kate in just a couple of seconds. It's Mix 106.5.